Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Micah Ecumenical Ministries are focused this morning. They have an event coming up. We're going to talk about that and just talk about the work of Micah this morning. Now, Megan Cotter is here this morning along with Jill Clare from Micah. Good morning to both of you. Thanks for coming in.
Morning.
Morning. It's early.
It is early, Jill. You are right. And you will hear in the background, it sounds like there are, over the air, it sounds like there are drums beating. We are getting a new roof, and they are literally are close to us. So you will hear banging in the background all morning long. It is because of the roof. So just to let you know about that. Megan, you've got a big event. This is the first time that you have done this. First time I have ever heard of the coldest night.
Yeah, so... the coldest night of the year is an event that has been going on in Canada for 12 years, and it's become pretty popular across Canada. Last year was the first year that it was in the United States, and it kind of kicked on our radar last year, and we kept an eye on it. And as we approached this year, we decided to sign on. With, I don't know, like 10, 15, 20 other communities across the country to do a walk. Mm-hmm. The walk is rooted in gathering people for good, specifically around homelessness, hunger, and poverty in various communities. And there's other organizations like us across the country that are doing this. And so on February 25th, which is dubbed the coldest night of the year.
We're hoping it's not for real.
A little chill with no rain would be nice.
Yes.
We will gather anybody in the community that wants to walk. You can sign up a team, your business, your church, your family to walk, and ask people to give you money because you are walking towards this idea of being a community where nobody sleeps outside and supporting the work we do in order to make that possible.
So it's a fundraiser, and hopefully, Micah, people pledge a lot of money, and you make some significant money out of this.
So it's a fundraiser, and I think we had a little bit of this idea, but we didn't know how big it would be as a friendraiser, in just bringing people into our circle that have not really been a part of Micah in the past, and sometimes not even known a whole lot about Micah. And it's really been a really good education opportunity to help people understand that Micah doesn't just help people survive in the community. We really seek to care for the whole person, and we have some big dreams for how to do that.
And we're going to get into that too as we go along this today. But you really do. It's about caring, and you have some real big dreams.
We do.
Real big dreams. We will talk about that as we go along. So Jill, the event itself on the 25th. What do I need to know? Where do I need to go? How can I sign up?
So you can sign up at CNOY.com. That's coldest night of the year, CNOY.com/Fredericksburg. That's us. That takes you right to the Micah page, and everything you can need to know is right there on the page. We do want everybody who's coming to please sign up, and that's so that we have a good head count, because our numbers are way bigger than we expected, which is amazing, and we want to make sure we know how many people are coming. So please do sign up before you come. Our start is at Her Camp Park, and we go from Her Camp. The 5K is charted to go through downtown past all of the founding Micah churches.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's like little highlight points of interest along the walk. And it should be fun to walk with your team, with your family, friends. And it's very much like a walk, not a run, not a race. It's not timed. It's about getting out and building relationships and community, not who's going to be the fastest at
this.
So we go all through downtown and land back at her camp at the end for like a big celebration.
How cool is that? Mm-hmm. And it really is a chance to, for all of you, I'm sure it will really be meaningful to see the community come together like this. You do see it at times when you have programs at Her Camp Parker or elsewhere around town. But this is going to really be a big show of we're interested in what Mike is involved with in the downtown.
It really is. And I mean, so we set out and our goal was to get 200 people to walk. Mm-hmm. We're at 320 something as of this morning.
30 something, I think, as of this morning. 338.
And it's just people are steady signing up and joining in to be a part of this. And we've just been blown away by how the community has shown up and got excited about what we're trying to do and coming together to really care for our neighbors.
Did I see that so far, like, the money pledged is pretty substantial?
Yeah,
we hit our goal about a week ago.
That's what I thought. So it's like over 60,000, isn't
it's
it?
It's 70 something.
We're at almost 75,000.
Yeah,
which is way over our goal.
How great is that?
We're told that it only goes up from here. Statistically, other communities, it's usually about the last 10 days that a lot of the money and the walkers come in, because people operate on the last minute.
It is the last minute. But, sure.
And we're cool with that. And so, like, now it's kind of like, okay, how much do we... First it was, help us reach our goal. And now it's, okay, how much do we love our neighbor? How much do we believe in this different kind of community that we could be by working together and, you know, not just raising money, but raising people to be part of the community?
Yeah. How exciting is that, though? Just to think of that, just even if it stopped now and it's not going to, but what you're going to be able to do with that money, that is exciting.
Right.
CNOY.com/Fredericksburg. That will get you to the coldest night of the year, and you can sign up. MicahFredericksburg.org if you want to find out locally what Micah is doing. And we will continue to talk about that with Megan and Jill. Quick break. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Mike Ecumenical Ministries, our focus this morning, and the coldest night of the year walk. It is on February the 25th, CNOY.com. Fredericksburg will get you there for all the information. Megan Cotter and Jill Clare here from Mike. So, Jill, it starts at 5, mm-hmm. and I'm just thinking of the downtown. The walk itself won't be that long, I wouldn't think.
No, I mean, we want people to take their time. This can be about conversation as much as the walk itself. You know, walk with people that you know, walk with people who are experiencing homelessness. We're inviting our neighbors along if they want to join in. So check-in starts at 4 at her camp. The launch starts at 5, and we'll send the teams out in waves. And, you know, find somebody to talk to on your walk. It's building community. It's building relationships. And then we'll come back at the end at her camp, land there, and send everybody off with some warm soup to warm up from the coldest night of the year.
Well, and I know just from over the years, either Megan, you bringing people in here, or even people you've highlighted, or I just think of when you told stories on the program you had at Her Camp Park in November on All Saints Day, the stories of homeless people and people that are struggling with housing, you sit and hear those stories, and they're a lot like all of us.
Right.
And it's something has happened that got them off course. It's interesting hearing these stories.
Well, and it's, you know, it's interesting to think about a like a walk as kind of a way to bring people together in whatever way around this, because what a lot of folks don't even really think about is, like, when you're outside and you don't have a place to live, a lot of times you don't have a car either. You walk from one place to the next. You depend a lot on, and not just from the physical walking standpoint, but it's a journey. It doesn't take long sometimes to become homeless, but it takes a really long time to truly overcome it and journey back into housing and really overcome the trauma that it is when you actually lose everything. And so, you know, a walk is symbolic for a lot of reasons. It's also symbolic of, Mike has been at this now 18 years. One of the things that we're reminding people of is that the Jericho Road in the Good Samaritan story is also 18 miles. And so, you know, we have walked this road of loving our neighbor and literally pulling people out of ditches sometimes and helping them to get to a place where they can be accepted and welcomed into an inn where they can receive the care that they need, just like the Good Samaritan story. And so there's just a lot of different parallels that just walking means so much to this community and the work that we're doing.
Well, and I just think of, you think of over the years and just how the work of Micah has expanded, and the visions that you have now, and even the relationships that you've had, and it's been in the past few weeks, unfortunately, a few people that you all have been very close with and have worked with Micah have passed away, and that's always really tough when you highlight those people.
Yeah, well, and I mean, Micah did very much start as a basic needs organization, opening up in church fellowship halls and getting to know people and caring for them right where they were. And as we've learned and loved and gotten to know them, it's seeded new ideas about what we need to do to help build a fabric in this community that cares for them better, from income development to respite care to housing. And we've really become this holistic system of care that really, and sometimes shows up like family and friends for people who, as we've talked before, are homeless because of a catastrophic loss of relationship, not just because they've run out of money or anything like that.
Right.
It's the relationship that's really the key. And what we're doing through Micah is really rebuilding that fabric and that community so that they can have the best chance possible at a meaningful life.
I remember years ago, the first time when you I think it was a partnership with Mary Washington Healthcare, when you set up the home where people could go after they.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, after they'd been hospitalized, it was a place just to go and to be able to continue to get better.
Right.
And thinking, that is so needed and so great. You know, you found your calling in that, and that's just been one small.
And we kept going.
Yes,
we kept walking.
It is. There've been other things. It just builds and builds and builds to where. Right. When was it? Was it last year when you started talking about the Jeremiah Project?
Right. Right. And so I think, you know, in many ways, like the Jeremiah community is the actualization of a lot of little seeds that have been planted along the way. Micah already is a community in so many ways, and I think the number of people that are showing up to be a part of this walk are a testament to that, and bringing new people and new blood alongside what we're trying to do. And now we're going to go build a real community with all the things we've learned along the way and all the people we've gathered and all the relationships we've built. We're going to build a neighborhood of small houses where people who are overcoming homeless can live affordably, have purpose, and grow meaningful relationships.
I remember, because you had seen this, where was it, St. Louis or somewhere? You had seen it somewhere.
The first example I saw of it was in Austin, Texas.
Okay.
There's another in Missouri. And honestly, it's permanent supportive housing. Is kind of it's a different way of doing it.
Yeah.
And there's an increasing momentum behind doing permanent supportive housing in a way that makes sense for the people who need to live there. Permanent supportive housing has often and historically looked like an apartment building. There's nothing wrong with an apartment building. But when you have folks that are overcoming some different trauma, different mental health issues, different behavioral issues and that kind of thing, shared walls can be a tough thing. And an apartment, it can encourage isolation. It can sometimes discourage community and whatnot. And sometimes when you are overcoming homelessness, you think there's things on the other side of the wall that are not, or other people's social, psychological issues are just too much to live in close tandem with. But you can live alongside people of shared experience, which is important, and be in community when you want to, and also be in your own space when you want to as well. And that's a part of the philosophy that's behind more of the neighborhood kind of permanent supportive housing versus some of the other things that are out there.
And this whole the Jeremiah community, it continues to move forward.
It does. We are we have some land that we are pretty close to locking down on. We are working through some zoning issues with the city in order to try to move that forward, and we are gathering our people and building our team and our community who are going to help us build this community from a fundraising standpoint, from an architectural standpoint, from an engineering and development standpoint. I mean, we're building a community so that we can build a community.
I remember last spring when you had a kind of a kickoff at Hurricane mm-hmm. Park and talking about this. And one of the downtown pastors said, God already has the money. It's in your wallet.
That's right.
And so, and I thought that was a really good way to describe it. And you of all the downtown churches in Micah have continued to go forward with all of these things.
Right.
And gotten the support of the community behind you. Yeah. And I think it just shows again with this. I'm not really surprised with the number of people interested in this walk, because I think people see and are behind what Micah is doing, and they're showing it.
Right. Well, and you know, there's another passage that talks about, you know, God always gives us more than we can ask or imagine. And I think about this whole journey and this walk, and, you know, like, we just wanted to help people survive on the streets. And who knew, like, what? And I know Jeremiah community is the biggest thing we've ever attempted to do.
Yeah.
But I know that there is so much more that will be revealed to us in this process of bringing that to fruition. And I think, you know, we're really setting an example. We're making a statement to the entire country. And this walk is, I think, an example of that.
Yeah.
We're saying, like, we are a community that does not believe that people have to sleep outside, and we are committed to offer whatever we have to build that fabric so that we don't have to be.
I look at you, Megan, as somebody who I knew as
a teenager.
Then a newspaper reporter, you know, covering, what was it, Stafford County you
Stafford
covered?
Stafford County government.
Yeah, I would see you at Stafford County government meetings, and you had gotten involved with this through your church, and things have just gone on. And now, you look at what Micah has become.
Right. Well, you know, it's a calling. And, you know, and those little seeds, I think, are planted in all of us. You know, the primary mission for all of us is in Genesis 2:15, and that's that God gave us all a home in a garden and gave us a job, and that job was to cultivate and care for creation. And we all actualize that in all kinds of different ways. I have actualized it in my mission to care for the unhoused, and other people actualize it in other gifts and things that they bring to the table. And so we're all on that journey. We're all walking towards a dream of being the community, being the kingdom of God that we were always created to be.
It sort of seems like they're building the Jeremiah community around us right
it
now.
It does.
You would think that we're doing this show at a construction site, and it sort of is. We're getting a new roof right now. We're getting a new roof at the radio station. That's why you hear all that pounding. But as you were talking about building the Jeremiah community, I just thought it just sounds like you've started.
Yeah.
And this is, we've got breaking news. But no, it's just getting a new roof on the on the building here. Megan Cotter and Joe Claire here this morning from Micah Ecumenical Ministries, CNOY.com, Fredericksburg. That will get you in touch with information on the coldest night of the year, February 25th. It's a walk. It's a fundraiser. We're going to continue to talk about that and more about the work of Micah, MicahFredericksburg.org. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
Okay, listen. We got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is Micah Ecumenical Ministries, our focus this morning. Megan Cotter and Jill Claire here from Micah. MicahFredericksburg.org. And the roof project has now moved really right directly over us. So, if it was, you thought it was loud before, when we started, it just really sounded like drums in the distance. But now, it's hammers.
Move it that way.
right over us. So yeah. So that's all the banging that you hear in the background. Megan, one of the things, and I think it's been shown with all the different projects we've talked about, people do want to help, but a lot of times people don't know how to help. You make it really easy, because you'll fit people to what they feel comfortable and what their talents are.
Yeah, we want to know what people's gifts are, and we want to put those gifts into action. I mean, some of the best volunteers we have had are people who come and say, hey, I can do this. Can you use this skill? And we more often than not find a way to use that, even if it's not something that's like a natural slot. We've really gotten our volunteer program in gear here in recent years, or in the last 6 to 9 months. Volunteer orientations are first and third
Fridays.
Yeah. There's a sign up on our website to let us know you're coming and whatnot. And it's, if nothing else, it's a good opportunity for people to come and learn more about Micah, for us to get to know you, and get you plugged into some of the things that we're doing. And our website is MicahFredericksburg.org.
MicahFredericksburg.org has all kinds of great information, and there really are a lot of things you can do. I mean, you're involved in a lot of different areas, and there's got to be there is something that you would feel comfortable doing if this is what you want to get involved with.
Yeah, there's everything from feeding people to working at the day center to taking people to appointments to, I got a lady right now that's helping us with some strategic leadership work and whatnot. So there's all kinds of different ways that we can put people's gifts into action. And we really want volunteers to come and be a part of us. Like I said, we're building a community. It's not just about running an organization. It's, we want people to come and be a part of us.
Speaking of meals, I know churches a lot of times will provide meals, or you can volunteer to do that, or get a group together from work. I hear of all kinds of different ways that the people are serving downtown.
Yeah, and we so the community meals rotate between the downtown churches. There's different groups from all over that come. We do have some holes in that schedule, so it's worth reaching out if you're a group that is looking to put a team together to feed folks once a month. I mean, we feed people 365 days of the year, 7 days a week, and you know, really make sure that people have a good meal and a safe place to eat it. So
there's the Micah Street Church, or the, mm-hmm. the Street Church downtown that's very active too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Micah Street Church has been one of those evolutions of what it means to be community and how we really are trying to not just lean into the tangible needs people have, but also the social and spiritual. Every Sunday at 10:30, there's breakfast before, and then at 10:30 we gather our neighbors who are current and formerly homeless to have a worship service and provide various pastoral care and things during the week to really meet people where they are and help them on their journey.
Volunteering is one way you can do it. The other is just to donate.
Yeah,
to provide funds, because that's how you can do something.
That's right.
Of this stuff.
That's how we do the work that we do. You know, in addition to just the fun, helping fund some of the work we're doing now, we are beginning to raise money for Jeremiah Community. We probably need $200,000-$300,000 in kind of pre-development to kind of get this going, and get through the rezoning process, and then we're gonna eventually be looking for people who want to sponsor a house for $60,000 a piece or whatnot. And so, you know, there's lots of different ways that people can be a part of helping us to be the community we are now, but also looking ahead to help us build the actual community that we're.
And whether you can give, you may be somebody who knows how to fundraise. There's all kinds of options for you.
Right.
And I guess but the best way to do that is just get a hold of, go to MicahFredericksburg.org and get the ball rolling that way. That's interesting. I mean, that's a lot of money to raise, but you have proven, and the community's proven, they come through on these kinds of things.
Right. We think that the project that the Jeremiah Community will probably be somewhere between $10 to $15 million. It's hard to really nail down those numbers till we can get through the zoning process and whatnot. But yeah. But we are ready to, we're set up to accept donations, to accept pledges. We've got a special fund set up through the Community Foundation to accept that funding separately from our regular operating dollars. And so, you know, we're ready to, you know, begin to have some of those conversations about some of the bigger gifts.
The name, the Jeremiah Project, I always assumed it was Jeremiah from the Bible, but there's a Jeremiah in Fredericksburg that this is named
after. So it's both. The prophet Jeremiah is, of course, the prophet who joined the exiles or the homeless in Babylon and said, "Seek the welfare of the city, because in its welfare you'll find your welfare," which I think speaks to what we're doing. But it's also an interesting parallel with the actual Jeremiah, who lived on the streets of Fredericksburg for 27 years. He was a graduate of North Stafford High School. He was a vet, had, you know, some various paranoia and whatnot that kept him from engaging meaningfully in supportive services and whatnot. And we, during the pandemic, we had just about every person we knew outside in socially distanced hotel rooms. And he was really one of the only ones left. And so we committed that we didn't want him to be the only one outside. And so we rented a house, and we went every night for 6 months to get him to go in it. And one night he said yes, and he has been in now for 2 years. And we have, and I think his story really speaks to some of the unique needs of a lot of people that we're trying to get off the street, and how we have to continue to journey with them to make their house a home.
I can't imagine 27 years.
Right.
That's just to try to think of that.
Right.
Is just amazing.
Right.
But the people were willing to not give up.
Right.
And to continue. And I think that's such a story of Micah, of not giving up on people.
Right. And that is the essence of what we're talking about, is a lot of times we try to programatize very human problems, and we can't put timelines and expectations on human problems. And so our strategy is much more of a relational, a family strategy, a community strategy, mm-hmm. of really meeting people where they are and saying, we want to help you live the best life possible, and we're going to journey with you as long as it takes. And we've housed people 2 and 3 times, and they get it on the 5th time.
And then
there's plenty of people that we provide a little bit of assistance, and they move on, and we never see them again. And that's great, too. So, but many of the people we work with, it's about not giving up and relentlessly showing up in their lives and continuing to help them understand who and whose they are, and how there are people that really believe in their potential.
I saw you a couple weeks ago. We were over at the health department because Congresswoman Spanberger was there with a big check, and a mobile health unit is coming to this area. And that you think of that, you think of the cold weather shelter that you do every year, and there are just a lot of things going on that a lot of people may not pay attention to, but that are real significant to this community.
Yeah, and you know, the mobile unit that Congresswoman Spanberger has helped this community get resources to buy is a really important piece to some of the healthcare work Mike is doing. I mean, we could talk a whole lot about that, but the Mike actually has been investing recently in some innovative ways of really bringing healthcare support to people's lives. We have Fredericksburg Christian Health Center that actually comes to Mica. We have some other community partners that we have recently recruited to provide healthcare in the places, and even go to, Dr. Steiner from Fredericksburg Christian has gone to visit Jeremiah in his home because he's not yet ready to go to a doctor's office or whatever. And so we're really working on trying to find ways to bring healthcare and mental health care into people's lives and have partners to do that. And the mobile health clinic is one more way that we anticipate being able to increase access for people who, for whatever reason, have a harder time navigating the systems that are out there.
And probably need it more than most.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And one of the reasons we didn't talk about it is, as you're telling me this, I'm thinking,
you didn't even know.
I didn't know. No, that's why. I had no idea you were doing that.
Yeah.
Like I said, the respite house, to me, that was as big as you were going to get.
Yeah. Well, in some ways, the healthcare work we're doing recently is an expansion of that respite care work, because the respite house is for 8 people.
Yeah.
And their health problems don't stop when they move into housing. And so there's a lot of different coordination we're finding we're doing. Is when you really commit to be community for people, you're not just with them in that moment of their health crisis and that initial, but we have people we worked with 15 years ago that are aging now and they have different needs. Mm. And so we're responding to try to figure out, as the sometimes the only family they have, how do we really be that community and meet their needs as they're aging and they get to a place that they need additional kinds of care?
I had no idea.
I know. Next time.
There we go. There's our next show. Do you still? I know that the Mica Center down there on Princess Anne Street, it was always like a bustling place in the mornings. Is
right.
that still?
Yeah.
People still come and get what they need?
Monday through Friday, we have hours that folks can come and get what they need. And I think, part of the busyness there is not always just the people that are coming to get their basic needs met and are on the street and need a shower and mail and whatever, but it's become a hub of community for people even after they move into housing. And one of the things I think that's kind of helped lead us to Jeremiah Community is the recognition that even after people housed, they still come back to the hospitality center looking for community and connection. They don't need anything.
Yeah.
It's just their place and their people. And so that's a part of what's behind Jeremiah Community. How do we create a place and a people that doesn't mean you have to come back to the homeless services center to find that?
Yeah. That in some ways it's interesting how over the years, and especially it really is a community, and mm-hmm. and they, everyone, you've told me that they look out for one another, and there really is that bond,
yeah,
between a lot of people.
Yeah, and it, you know, there is an asset of community that we have always seen among people who live on the street, and we've learned who we need to be and what we need to be.
Yeah.
From what we've seen them, even half-heartedly, be to each other. The street community has always taken care of one another, which is why we really believe that it's valuable to allow them to continue to live, to move that asset of community indoors, mm-hmm. give them a key and their own space,
yeah,
and let the good parts of that community continue and then join them in that.
Megan Cotter here, Jill Clare here this morning from Micah Ecumenical Ministries, MicahFredericksburg.org. If you want to get involved in any way, donating, volunteering, any number of things, MicahFredericksburg.org. We'll come back and wrap this up by talking about the coldest night of the year, February 25th. It is a walk that you can raise money for and be involved with. We'll do that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Our focus this morning is Micah Ecumenical Ministries, and they are having the coldest night of the year walk on February 25th. Jill Clare and Megan Cotter here. So Jill, there is a website you can go to sign up, and you do want people to sign up. Not only you can raise money, and it gives you an idea of how many people are going to show up on the 25th.
And that's CNOY, coldest night of the year, CNOY.com/Fredericksburg. That gets you right to the Micah page. And also on that page, you can see the ways that the community has come together around this walk. We've got all our sponsoring businesses listed on that page. And there's 14 different businesses who are sponsoring this in some way or other, from, you know, donating to providing the soup. Foodies providing soup at the end of the event. Stafford Printing is sponsoring all the printing costs.
Mm-hmm.
So you can explore that page to see who in our business community is supporting this too. And that's where you can sign up so that we have a good headcount and know how much soup we need for everybody. And where you can sign the waiver and get ready to walk.
I think I saw on your Facebook page that if you raise $150, you get this incredibly cool hat.
It's very nice.
Yes. It looks warm.
It's made by the Canadians. It's very nice.
I learned a word that it's called a toque in Canada.
Oh, okay.
A toque, yeah. Since it's a Canadian event, you started there. I'm learning all these Canada words.
It says coldest night of the year on it, and it really looks great. And like you said, this isn't like you're not signing up for a 5K race and you get soup afterwards. This is a walk. And
it's intended to be leisurely, where the course is charted to go through downtown past each one of the 9 Micah founding churches. And at each church we'll have little signs, like what we're calling mile markers, that talk about the work that Micah is already doing in the community. So it's not intended to be a race. Grab somebody you know, have a conversation, read the little signposts, enjoy the downtown community while you're walking, and think about, on this cold night as the sun's going down, what it would be like to not have anywhere to go for the night. You know, that's what we're raising money for, the work that Mike is doing, for those who don't have anywhere to go for the night, who their only method of transportation is walking around downtown. So it's an experiential event. It's not a race, definitely not.
And you've already exceeded your fundraising goal.
Significantly.
And now let's see how much you can get.
Right.
Because and just the funds will be used. There's so many things. I mean, you have so many, as we have talked this morning, you're involved with so many projects.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where this money's going to
go. Right. It all helps us do the work we do.
Yeah.
the funds go to the work that we're already doing right now, but the reason that we chose the number that we did is so that we could tell the story more about our planned Jeremiah community. So we chose the number that we did to say this is the cost of what a house would be when we have Jeremiah community. And we just blew that number out of the water. So we'll see how high we go.
So we can double it.
Right. That's what I was saying too.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. And Jill, when you said, you know, that it does make you think of, so many of us will attend this and then go home, but others don't. And I remember, I'll never forget, Megan, one of the first years when you did a program at City Dock on December 21st, and it was an icy cold night. And mm-hmm. I remember you talking about that and just looking around and seeing so many people and just thinking, where do they go?
Right.
And it does make you think.
Yeah. Well, that was I think one of the first significant deaths that we had. In the community, it was the first I remember experiencing, and I mean, I think that's a testament too. I mean, we're gonna have another one tomorrow of another very beloved friend of the MICA community that you know, when, you know, we've worked really hard in recent years to do funerals when people pass away, and people show up as if they were friends and family, because that's what they are to one another.
Yeah, because we've seen, and in a lot of cases, we have seen, many of us have seen these people around town. Thanks for what you do, and here's hoping that the coldest night of the year on the 25th, that you raise lots and lots of money. CNOY.com, Fredericksburg, will get you there. MicaFredericksburg.org, the good work of Mica Ecumenical Ministries downtown. Megan Cotter and Jill Clare, we will talk soon. As you talked about, as Jill, as you said, we want to talk about the Jeremiah community. Megan, anytime you want to come in and talk, you just let me know. We'll talk about it. Thanks for what you guys do, and see you on the 25th.
Yeah, great.
That is it. The roof continues to be built around us. We move on. We'll
Thanks
see
for
the morning.
To Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFBA.